Good morning to all of my BSN and Coffee listeners. How was everybody's weekend? How was everybody's start of the week? Today's Wednesday. Today's Thursday. Today's Thursday, guys. I'm so sorry. I am off on my days, but today's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. Yay. I hope everybody's had an amazing week, an amazing weekend, and honestly, just getting ready for the next one, right? I know we haven't been on in a while, but I definitely want to thank everybody for all of your support. Thank you for subscribing and sharing and liking. And honestly, I really just appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. This turned out so much better than what I initially had thought it would. So I really, really, really do appreciate y'all so, so much from the bottom of my heart. I do apologize. I have been a little MIA, but we are back today and ready for a new episode. So get ready. So today we are going to get all of the updates out there for the Gabby Petito case that we have been following very closely. And I also do have an update for y'all on the Mia Marcano case as well. Of course, if many of you did not hear that podcast, head over to our very latest podcast. And that's basically where we went over, you know, both cases, kind of just did a little recap of the Gabby Petito case, and then we introduced the new Mia Marcano case, which she did go missing as well. We've got a couple of updates, but they will be, you know, it'll be a shorter episode today just because we're kind of still sitting back and watching how things kind of play out because they're getting pretty intense. I feel like it is getting really close to the point where we are almost there. And by that, I mean, we're almost there in catching Brian Laundrie. So first, I want to start off by all of the new developments that have begun in this case. I first want to, of course, give my condolences again to Gabby Petito's family. She seemed like a very bright, wonderful, amazing young woman who had literally her whole entire life ahead of her. She had amazing aspirations, you guys. She was wanting to become a blogger. You know, she wanted to hit this road trip because she was trying to get content also for her blog on YouTube. Unfortunately, it ended pretty quick, and it was very unfortunate as far as, you know, the circumstances that surrounded it. However, during the time from our last podcast, a lot of developments have happened. You know, FBI has gone back to their, you know, the Laundrie's home several times. At one point they did go back to fingerprint the parents from what we saw. Let me step back a little bit. From what we saw that they were carrying, they looked like they were DNA samples. So it could have easily been fingerprint samples or it could have been a swab, for DNA purposes, for our understanding, for identification for Brian Laundrie. Ever since everything kind of just started unraveling little by little, there's been pictures that have come out. The sister of Brian Laundrie has now spoken out about several things and concerns as well, and has also pleaded with the public for him to just turn himself in. She has given a statement. She was also given, you know, like an exclusive interview through ABC 7 News, and she honestly just pleaded that she just begins to ask him, you know, she's like, come on, Brian, you got to get us out of this. And I understand her. You know, last week we were able to see a video of her pleading the people standing outside of her home, asking for them to quiet down and leave. Obviously, there's a little bit of a disturbance as far as when it comes to the neighbors and when it comes to their children. We have to remember that there are children involved on her side. Now, this is what I'm going to make very clear, because a lot of people are going to ask why I defend his sister in this case. I'm going to be very, very, very honest with you. I don't believe that Brian's sister has anything to do with this. I believe that Cassie was left out in the dark. I really do, because I believe that when I saw her interview in the beginning, the way that things came out, the way that things were developed, and the way that she specifically pleaded for him to come forward and just end all of this, it made me the body language, you know? It made me feel like they left her out. She seems like the type of person who would definitely, you know, rat her family out. And that may be why they just kept her out of all of this. They may have known that she was going to go and do exactly the right thing and tell them, you know, hey, my parents are helping him, or no, my parents are not. We didn't even know, but they do know where he's at now, you know? Now, ever since everything developed and started coming out and all of the news, there were a couple of updates. You know, we did speak that they had gone out camping between September 6th and September 8th. A lot of people were accusing Cassie of actually knowing where Brian was, because a new development had come out showing that Cassie had actually attended this camping trip with them on September 6th. Now, per Cassie, on September 6th, she did go. Her husband, herself, and her children had gone camping with her mom and dad and Brian as well. Now, as many of you know, I'm sure if you've gone onto their Facebook now, but for those who do not know, there were two pictures that were taken there, which were with both of Cassie's children and Brian. Now, in these pictures, they're sitting like on a very big log or tree bench, I should say. Brian is basically smiling. I see this face and I can't say surprised, because he's obviously on the run for something that he either knows he did or thinks he may get in trouble for. But at this point, I see guilty written all over it. It just doesn't seem like it would be something somebody would do if it was a true accident, okay? Let's keep in mind, forensics know exactly what it is that happened, because they've already concluded their autopsy. They've already finished their autopsy. Now, we do know that it was filed as a homicide, but we don't know the actual cause of death yet. So in these pictures, I am observing them and looking at Brian, and he doesn't look like a spouse who would be hurt, who would be mourning the loss of his girlfriend. Of course, at this point in time, he didn't know, right? Because at least we can say supposedly, and I say that, because he supposedly didn't know that she was gone at that point in time. He's out here, you know, living his life, being happy, and Gabby's parents are in anguish. Not only her parents, but her step-parents and her family and her friends, because nobody knows where Gabby's at, and he's out living his life. He's out camping happily with these two children who loved Aunt Gabby, you know? I think he definitely had something to do with it. He's still on the run. They're still unable to find him. A lot of speculation has come out about burner phones. We don't really know that they are burner phones. Now, keep in mind what a burner phone is, okay? A burner phone is going to be like a track phone that you can go buy like at Walmart or anything and just put like a card on it, because it can't really be tracked. Now, there was some speculation that Roberta had gone into an AT&T store and had purchased two burner phones. And they did state that apparently Brian had purchased a separate phone. However, from their understanding, and I know you can't see me, but I say this with air quotes, he left that phone in his home. And I do not believe that. I believe he took that phone with him. I believe he took his gun. I don't believe he took his gun for him to do something to himself. I believe he took his gun for protection for himself. Especially if he was going to be camping or he was going to be hiking. I definitely believe that's why he would have taken it, but I do not believe that it was in order to do something to himself. It would be a very coward thing to do. It really would, because their family, not necessarily his family, because at this point they've been pushed to a side because they literally looked for that. They really did. They are unwilling to help. They were unwilling to help when Gabby was missing, and they were unwilling to answer any questions at all. But Gabby's family deserves that justice. And so I definitely think that that would be a very cowardly thing to do, because they deserve justice. They deserve that justice. They deserve to feel and understand what it was that happened. Even if he did do it, you know, they need to move forward, and they need to be able to move forward with this, because they just lost their sweet girl. You know, it's very hard to understand how things played out, because we weren't all there, obviously, but it seems like there's several speculations out there. One of them, is just honestly that maybe he just snapped. He was very upset and he snapped. Even then, I still can't understand it, because I can't understand any person, man or woman, who can snap so much that you can hurt another human being or a child or anybody at that, you know? It's just very, very scary. So apparently Chris Laundrie, which of course many of you know, and if you don't know, is Brian Laundrie's father, has joined the search today. Now, the lawyer of Chris Laundrie, Brian Laundrie, and Roberta Laundrie have stated that Chris was actually asked to join the search and help. However, there was a police statement stating that they did not. But somebody did. Somebody asked, for sure, whether it was FBI or police or somebody, because this morning he was reported seeing leaving his home. And when I say reported, I report this to you personally because I know it's 100% factual. I was able to see the pictures, and honestly, it's absolutely everywhere. So he left to go help find Chris Laundrie. I'm going to give you my speculation, because this is what I think, okay? I think that they are going to go out, try to find him, and his dad's going to be like, oh, look, I found him. Do you need anything? You know what I mean? And I think that that's what it is. I think that they have been aiding and abetting him. I think that they have been 100% behind him. They know where he's at. I just want to put an example real quick for y'all, okay? Look at Gabby's family and look at the Laundries. You know, Gabby's family was distraught. They were worried. They were tirelessly working to make sure that her picture was out there with her information, while the Laundries sit back in their home and plant in their garden. And they go to Walmart to buy a gallon of milk. I'm sorry, half a gallon of milk. You can see two totally different families. Gabby was brought up by an amazing family who seems to have literally co-parent most of their life, most of her life. She was brought up by amazing parents and step parents. She seems to have a very amazing support system. While you look over at the Laundries and I see a troubled young man with two parents who possibly think that either money is going to hush them up, or just by being there, because their parents will keep them there, you know? And again, this is all speculation, because this is just an honest opinion. That's what, you know, what we are here to do today. This is my personal opinion. So I apologize if I offend anybody, but honestly, at this point in time, I see two completely different families, and I see one who has lost so, so much and is distraught and is saddened and just needs answers. And then I see this family who's unwilling to help, whose son is also missing at this point in time. But I don't want to say missing, because I feel like he's not even missing. I feel like they're hiding him. I know me as a parent, I would be crazy. I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't eat. I don't think I'd be anywhere. And I would be right in front of the media, no matter what my lawyer would tell me. I would be right in front of there, because they're my kid. And if you are a parent, if you are a mother, if you are a father, you would understand that pain. Again, I go back to the example. Look at the Petito family and the Schmidt family. They literally were trying to find answers, while the Laundries just sit back and cross their arms and say, well, I'm sorry, you know, it's kind of shitty if you ask me, you know. So he's out looking for him, and I'm just crossing my fingers that they find him. I wake up every morning and I check the news, because the first thing I want, I've literally breathed, eaten, and sleeping on this case like every single day. First thing I check is my Facebook. First thing I check is Twitter. First thing I check is literally the news, because what I want to see is Brian has been found. That's what I want. I want them to pull that up. I want to see him. And I don't want it to be the coward way. I want it to be correct, because he is a person of interest. He needs to be found. It's just so unfair that, you know, Gabby's family is going through something so hard at the moment, and he freely walks on this earth. And I hope he does, because I hope that he didn't cowardly take a way out and decide that he was going to end everything and not give anybody any answers, because her family deserves justice. And that is exactly why we do our podcast, to make sure that everybody is aware, that everybody is understanding what the case surrounding, what's going on, you know, where it goes from here, because everybody deserves justice, no matter who it is. Even Gabby's own father has explained, every single person deserves to be looked for just like Gabby was looked for. So that leads me into the Gabby Petito Foundation. They have started this amazing foundation. You can go over to GabbyPetitoFoundation.org and you can actually go in and see their mission statement. They have a very, very amazing cause. They're honestly trying to make a change because they want this to be that change. I hope that it is that change for them because they deserve it. They definitely deserve it. I'm going to leave the link inside of the description of our podcast, and I'll also tell you and read you what their mission statement is. So head over to GabbyPetitoFoundation.org. This is their mission statement, and I quote, okay, "The Gabby Petito Foundation will be a registered 501c3 organization founded by Gabby Petito's parents. Gabby went missing while on a cross-country road trip that included visits to many of our national parks. After an intensive search, it was discovered that Gabby's life was tragically cut short. The mission of the foundation is to address the needs of organizations who support locating missing persons and to provide aid to organizations who assist victims of domestic violence situations through education, awareness, and prevention strategies. We wish to turn our personal tragedy into a positive. It is our hope that Gabby's foundation will bring these important issues into the forefront of the public eye to benefit of all of our communities," end quote. This is perfect. This is perfect. I believe that unfortunately this had to happen, but there needs to be a change. There has to be a change. Domestic violence situations aren't taken serious because many times the victim will return to their abuser. And many people understand that, and many people have seen it, and many people literally live it. You can't just tell somebody to leave. It doesn't work that way. You know, unfortunately, there's things that have happened. It's so hard. That's like their safe place because that's what they are taught to feel, you know? And so there still needs to be something that is changed. There has to be a different way of the domestic disputes being handled. There has to be a different way of any argument like that being handled. I honestly, in my heart, feel that if that domestic violence situation that day would have been handled differently, oh, I believe that she would have been home with her parents right now. And we can't go back and be woulda, shoulda, coulda, because it doesn't work that way, you know? But we need to go back and we need to see, because let me show you something. If you look back at this interview, and I always go back to it, and I apologize, not interview, his actual, you know, camera recording from the cops. If you go back and you look at it and you actually dissect every single aspect of it, if you dissect every single look, every single speech, every movement, everything, Brian is a narcissist. He's a narcissist, and Gabby was a victim. And what happened? The victim was literally bashed. She was told that she could take the van, but she wasn't put in a hotel. He was put in a hotel because he was the victim, okay? He was not the victim. He was the narcissist trying to charm these police officers into thinking that Gabby was the abuser. I understand domestic violence is not the way, but she was maybe just doing this in self-defense, okay? Because many times the abuser makes the victim think that it is their fault that they are being beaten. And honestly, it's most of the time. It's all of the time. It's something that has to change. It's something that has to be looked at differently. And everybody deserves to be searched for like Gabby was searched for, just like her father said. They do. I mean, it's just something that has to be done. And I agree. This foundation will lead the way for that. So I'm so excited to see where the Gabby Petito Foundation goes. They definitely will have all of our support. They have some bracelets on there, metal bracelets, and I believe some were the other bracelets that you kind of see around, you know. And so I will definitely get some of those. I will be sharing the link in our podcast description so you can continue to follow their updates as well. They also do have a Facebook page called The Find Gabby. I would head over there and subscribe, like, and share. Follow, because that's kind of where we're getting all of our updates from as well. Following them, showing them the support. Please continue to keep an eye out, because honestly, Brian could be anywhere. He could be absolutely anywhere. So keep an eye out and don't forget what he looks like. And honestly, let's just hope and pray. Let's hope and pray that today's the day, and if it's not today, it's soon, because Brian has to be found. Gabby's family deserves justice. We are going to begin to shift into the Mia Marcano case that many of y'all have been following. As many of you know, we spoke last week about Mia Marcano. She's a 19-year-old who had gone missing from her apartment. And basically, they had found the person who was the person of interest had unfortunately taken his life in a garage. I will not give details, but if you are following the case, you obviously may know, you know, exactly what it is that happened. Mia Marcano was in Orlando, and she worked for an apartment complex in which she also lived in. She suddenly went missing one day, and she was supposed to get on a flight back home to visit her family, and unfortunately was not, she just didn't make it, unfortunately. So the update for this case today is very unfortunate. I'm sure if you're following the case on TV, you've already seen it, but unfortunately, the body of Mia Marcano was found. It was found in the Timber Scan apartments on Saturday morning. It basically looks like they were led there by phone records retrieved by Caballero, which Caballero was the 27-year-old who was, you know, a person of interest in her disappearance. Unfortunately, this case has ended in a very, very, very sad manner. So our condolences go out to the Marcano family. I personally couldn't even imagine. I know that there was a lot of support towards this case, and that's great. It is very amazing. I'll tell you why I kind of tied these two together, because they're both young women who went missing and unfortunately have been found dead. And it's very unfortunate. It's very sad that these families have to mourn the loss of their children through these, you know, circumstances. So basically, they have unfortunately found her body. Last week, they had found Caballero's body. Again, he had taken his life, and he had spoken to a family member, you know, when they initially went to go search for her apartment. There is another thing that is going on with this specific case, which I thought was pretty neat, and I think it needs to be that. There needs to be a Mia Marcano law also. Just like the Gabby Foundation is trying to make a change, I believe that things unfortunately have to happen again to make changes. And this law is specifically towards maintenance having a key to the apartment complex in every single apartment. If many of you have or have not lived in apartments, you would know maintenance has a master key to literally every single apartment. The reason why is because if you're gone or you're at work and they need to do maintenance, they have a way to enter. So there needs to be a change. There has to be a change, whether it be a system where they check out a key personally or somebody is home, which is very inconvenient, but it would solve so many issues or problems in the future for anybody. Unfortunately, Mia was seen leaving her office and heading to her apartment and then was never seen again. I'm going to give you my speculation because this is what I believe. I believe that he was in her apartment, which has been proven, okay? But I think that when he was in there, she arrived and she found him in there. Now, keep in mind, he is a 27-year-old who kept insisting that Mia, 19, date him. He kept asking her on a date to go out to give him a chance, and she kept refusing, you know. And I think that he eventually became either tired of it, or he wanted what he wanted and he was going to get it. Unfortunately, he did what he did, and he took the coward way out. I'm gonna say that, because he sure did. He didn't give this poor family answers. He didn't give them the justice that they deserve, because he just decided to take somebody's life. Why would you take somebody's life because they absolutely refused to have anything to do with you? You know, maybe there was more to it. Maybe she wasn't ready for a relationship. She was a young, beautiful, vibrant young woman who was attending college locally. And it's just very sad to think that that's not even safe anymore. You know, you have young women who relocate because they want a better future. They want to go to the best college. They want to be in the best place. And you just have these men or human beings who are very unforgiving, who don't care, and just do as they please. So, unfortunately, her body was located. They are waiting on the autopsy and the positive identification. The reason why they have already came out and said that it is Mia Marcano was because they found her purse with her identification nearby where she was found, which was actually pretty close to her apartments. Keep in mind, there was a lot of people searching for Mia as well. A lot of people came out from different places, Florida, everywhere. They wanted to make sure that she was found. Her family was sleeping outside of the Arden Villas, which is where she lived, Marcano. And they had been staying there because they wanted to make sure that she came back and that they were there, that somebody was there. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case, but they kept looking for her and they didn't give up hope. There was 60 detectives on this case, 175 personnel, as well as 30 searches that were conducted, and that all comes from the Orlando Sentinel, which I will go ahead and pin their link as well down so you can go and read their news release that they did. I truly believe that this was done out of hate because he was upset. I really do. I know that the FBI and the local law enforcement agencies are trying to piece everything together, but I really do think that it was a kidnapping because she was obviously taken without, you know, giving consent. It was against her will. I believe that it was because she profusely, like literally refused him all the time. There's men who just apparently can't handle rejection well, you know? And I know her family pleaded so many times. They had a vigil for her outside of the apartments and so many other places. And it's just very sad to see that it had to end this way, you know, but this will give her family some sort of closure and understanding, and they can move forward from here. There is several things that are surrounding the case that still need to be, you know, solved, put together, and then they can move forward. But I definitely believe that the Mia law needs to be put in effect because it's very true. I don't believe that maintenance should have a master key to everything. It could solve in... You begin to think like it could solve so many issues because she's the only one that we know of publicly right now. What if there's other cases that nobody knows about? What if they're unsolved cases and they never knew that it was behind a maintenance person who had a master key to an apartment? And I'm not by all means bashing anybody. I'm not. But let's just think for a second. This isn't the first case that happened. There's many cases that have happened this way. So I definitely think that this is the good that will come out of it. There needs to be a law, or there needs to be some kind of requirement against the apartment complexes that agree to not allow these maintenance people to have an actual master key, or you need to require a second person with you, or you need to require to check this key out, or you need to require somebody be there, because it causes so many problems, but it also prevents so many problems and so many issues. There was no reason for him to go into her apartment. And he took the life of a 19-year-old who had so much life ahead of her. He stole that from her. Now, that is all for today. I want to thank y'all so much for listening to BSN and Coffee. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I ask that you continue to subscribe and share. There is a new part in our Spotify where you can head over and start the conversation there, or you can go to wordpress.com as well. And I will pin those links in our description. Send me your cases. Which ones do y'all think that are not talked about as often that need to be talked about? Let's go through them. Let's talk about them. I am also open to bringing you on to the show. So if you have something that you want to add, if there's a conversation that you want to have, I have the ability to do that. So definitely reach out and let me know, because I'm all for it. Just let me know. Again, you can always email us or head over to Spotify and start the conversation there. Our email address is aleaguirre400@gmail.com. I will be available. I am available literally 24/7. So don't forget, you can always send your inspiration. You can always send your, you know, anything. If you have any suggestions or anything like that, I'm all for it. I'm all ears. Once again, I thank y'all for y'all's support. Thank you for listening to BSN and Coffee. Your host, Alejandra, is out.